So sit back and just bring a very generous, open awareness to your mind, to your situation, to what's going on. And not try to fix it, not try to judge it. Just let it be there as it is, very generously. And doing that will change, will start a process of transformation. And it's remarkable that there is this natural process of transformation that lives in all of us, that if we can get out of the way, and a lot of this mindfulness practice is about learning how to get out of your own way, get out of the way of your heart. Your heart knows the way to freedom. Your heart knows the way to compassion. Your heart knows the way to a high quality goodness that's in there. And to give you a little bit of a, maybe it's a little bit of a reductionistic, or maybe it's a little bit of a too rational explanation of how this works, is that all the ways that we suffer, that are agitated, we are stressed, afraid, angry, resentful, greedy, ambitious ways, all these kinds of forms of attachments that are the source of suffering, that fragment us, keep us kind of separate from ourselves even sometimes, they are all activities of things we're doing. And imagine all those things, dozens of these things, being little marbles that you drop into a big, large bowl. And you reach over the edge of the bowl and you're constantly pushing those marbles. They're going to keep rolling and rolling whenever you add the momentum to it. But if you set back and just watch and don't keep pushing the marbles anymore, they're going to slowly lose their momentum. The energy, the effort to keep them going is stopped. And they're all going to begin to settle and slow down and move down towards the center of the bowl. And at some point, they all come in and rest at the close to the middle together, all cozy and together, and are at rest in a unified way. They all come together, gather together, and are whole, rather than desperate, kind of spinning around. So if all these forces in our mind are like these marbles in our head, if we can stop spinning them, everything comes, gathers together. There's a unification process that happens in meditation practice. Everything we are slowly settles and comes into rest in a certain kind of way. And that experience of wholeness that comes, of all the fractured parts of our life coming and settling in, is a natural process. You don't have to do it, but to be able to step back and stop interfering, stop spinning the marbles, and allow it to settle, that there is such a natural process within us that leads to so much goodness, that leads to a really some of the highest quality inner life that's possible. It's just a remarkable thing that this exists within us. And these paramis are kind of pointing to that possibility. And the paramis are not so much meant to be something more you have to do. Maybe it's more of an undoing, an uncovering of something that's waiting for you there. And so ethics, no, generosity, integrity, renunciation, wisdom, effort, patience, truthfulness, resolve, loving kindness, and compassion will somehow or other be our companions, your companions, for this week we have together. Thank you.
How's the volume here?
Good.
Good? Yeah. Sorry about the sniffling and the croaky voice. I'm just at the tail end of a cold. So during this time of retreat, when you find yourself in that situation where you are compulsively stirring up the bowl of marbles, the habits that you've cultivated over your life of doing that, when the practice feels like there's some sense of struggle, some sense of you, me, trying to get somewhere, trying to get something, trying to get rid of something, or the sense of doubt that this is too hard and there's no way that I can do this and there's only 6 days left. Buddhism has this wonderful resource, these three jewels, these treasures, these gifts that allow us to reorient our viewpoint, to surrender some of the struggle, to trust that the practice is unfolding in a much larger frame than we might have in our mind in this moment. And so the three refuges are refuge in the Buddha, refuge in the Dharma, and refuge in the Sangha. And refuge in the Buddha is, you know, can be spoken about in many ways. It can be a kind of inspiration that we get from this person who may have lived 2,600 years ago and discovered this way of awakening and modeled all these beautiful qualities of heart and mind. And it can also be a kind of faith in our own individual capacity for awakening. Trusting that as we practice on the path, we're planting seeds that in their own time will come to fruition. And refuge in the Dharma can be a kind of trust in the practices, the wisdom, the teachings. It could also be our own discovery as we look deeply at our inner lives of how things are, the arisings and passings away that we'll see. And then refuge in the Sangha, this notion of the beloved community, that the ways in which we support each other. If you've ever tried to do this type of retreat practice on your own, it often can be quite difficult. And even though we will be in silence together, we create a kind of field of mutual support. This network of support from the retreatants, the volunteers, the residents, and the teachers. These can be like a kind of your North Stars or waypoints when the practice gets difficult. I'm going to turn it over to Bruni. She's going to talk about the precepts, and then at the end of the evening, we'll chant the refuges and call and response and the precepts.
As we continue, as Gulu mentioned, cultivating and creating this field of mutual support. And that support that include that safety that we have a refuge to go to in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, and also that we have a protection. We can have some protection for ourselves, and that we can also offer protection to others by taking what we call the precepts in the tradition. And so at the beginning of a retreat, we take the refuges and take the precepts in a way to remember that they're there in any moment that, you know, we need to be remembered, or that we need some kind of protection. And what an amazing thing to offer safety to others. To offer safety by committing this week, while we're here all together, to not take life, not to kill or engage in violence. Offer safety by not taking what is not given. It's been amazing to me on retreats that sometimes I just forget something in, you know, maybe in the community hall or in the dining hall, and I come back a day later and it's still in the same place where I left it. It's just an amazing thing, this offering of safety. And so we continue cultivating it by also taking the precept, or we can also call them trainings, of not to lie. We can also offer safety and protection by not engaging in sexual activity with each other in this retreat, by being celibate during this period. And we can also offer safety and protection for ourselves and for our community by not engaging into intoxicants that cloud the mind. So did I say all of them? Yes. So these precepts, these trainings, you know, it's not, they're practices also that we take. You know, there may be moments in which we say, my goodness, but I don't know if I'm ready, or, you know, I'm not a Buddhist, or, you know, I'm not going to take these precepts. Well, I encourage you, within the context of the retreat, to just consider them again as guidelines for protection, as trainings, and see how it lands for you in terms of taking them during this week.
So as a way of internalizing this idea that we can find a place of safety and a place of rest in the three refuges, we will chant the refuges in Pali. And I'll do it as a call and response, but just to preview, the words are Buddham Saranam Gacchami, which could be translated as I go to the Buddha for refuge. Dhammam Saranam Gacchami, I go to the Dharma for refuge. and Sangham Saranam Gacchami, I go to the Sangha for refuge. And we'll chant them three times to even more fully internalize this remembering. And you'll hear the words Dutiyampi, which means for the second time, and Tatiyampi, which means for the third time. So we'll just do this as a call and response. Buddham Saranam Gacchami.
Buddham Saranam Gacchami.
Dhammam Saranam Gacchami.
Dhammam Saranam Gacchami.
Sangham Saranam Gacchami.
Sangham Saranam Gacchami.
Dutiyampi Buddham Saranam Gacchami.
Dutiyampi Buddham Saranam Gacchami.
Dutiyampi Dhammam Saranam Gacchami.
Dutiyampi Dhammam Saranam Gacchami.
Dutiyampi Sangham Saranam Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddham Saranam Gacchami.
Tatiyampi Buddham Saranam Gacchami.
Tatiyampi Dhammam Saranam Gacchami.
Tatiyampi Dhammam Saranam Gacchami.
Tatiyampi Sangham Saranam Gacchami.
Now we will take the precepts, and I will we will take them. I will say them in English, and I will repeat the first part of taking the precept, and then I will say the precept, and you will repeat after me. Okay. And, you know, you can take it in silence. You see what you feel align, you know, within yourself in taking the precepts. Okay. For the sake of our practice together, I vow not to take life.
I vow not to take life.
For the sake of our practice together.
For the sake of our practice together.
I vow not to take what is not given.
I vow not to take what is not given.
For the sake of our practice together.
For the sake.
I vow not to lie.
I vow not to lie.
For the sake of our practice together.
For the sake of our practice together.
I vow not to engage in sexual misconduct.
I vow not to engage in sexual misconduct.
For the sake of our practice together. I vow not to take intoxicants that clouds the mind.
I vow not to take intoxicants that cloud the mind.
So I think that with taking the refuges and taking the precepts, we have sealed this container of practice.